Number two, God starts by developing a new way of life in you. Many believers don't understand that new way of life. It's so important. Number three, self-examination of a heart. And that's what we're going to zero in on today. And if I had anything to say, that if it was important for you to hear a message this morning would be probably the most valuable thing that I can share with you as a believer to another believer. And so today, I hope that you pay real close attention. And how many of you know the Bible is our final authority? You know, what it says, it means. Hallelujah. The types and the shadows and the people and everything in it speak into our life in a wonderful way. And so this morning, probably, if you don't understand this area and you don't succeed in this area, you'll never succeed, not only naturally, but you'll never succeed spiritually. I've seen people succeed in the natural, but never spiritually. They don't know how to balance it out. And God wants us balanced out. You see, a just weight is His delight. He wants to see you succeed in the natural as well as the spiritual. Both of them are very important to the kingdom of God. To succeed naturally is important because that's how we witness to the world. But the only way that you can witness to the world is that you've got to succeed spiritually to carry that. You know, you can go to a street person, a guy laying on the street, and you can get him cleaned up. You can take him in his home, get him cleaned up, and put a brand new set of clothes on him. And if he hasn't learned how to take control of himself as an individual, you'll find him laying on the street in your new set of clothes. Because he hasn't done anything with his heart, the person that he is. And so self-examination is very important to understand for the kingdom of God. And then, of course, point number four is knowing how to walk before God and men. See, a lot of us, we want to please the Lord, but we don't want to please those around us. You know, I thought it was very interesting. It says that when your ways please the Lord, have you ever thought of this? When your ways please the Lord, did you know that even your enemies will be at peace with you? You know, greatest reproach that you can have is when you have an unbeliever criticize you for what you represent as the kingdom of God, and yet you're not that example. It'll come back onto you. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. In other words, mankind won't have a problem with the God you serve, but they might have a problem with the example that you're giving. You know, and that's difficult to deal with sometimes. But we all have to deal with that. I don't care who we are. Matter of fact, even my relationships with other Christians and other ministers, the thing that hinders a great deal is the example. The example in my life, the example in their life. That hinders it. You can have a multitude of words, but, you know, they say, the old saying is, they retain only 10% of what you say, and the rest is your actions. You know, that's so true, you know. And so, this morning, we're going to be dealing with the self-examination phase. This is point number three. But point number five is how to understand authority and live within its perimeters. To understand authority and live within its perimeters. That'll stretch you more than anything else, naturally and spiritually. I don't care what you say. And point number six, as you prepare for natural retirement than death, you must prepare for eternal life spiritually. As you leave natural rewards, you must also leave eternal rewards. There's a natural inheritance and there's a spiritual. We sometimes prepare so much for the natural, but we don't realize that we also have to prepare for that which is eternal. You know, and yet many of us don't realize it. You know, my dad was a prime example. He spent his whole life for retirement. Everything that he thought and did was for retirement. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think if you don't do that, then there's something wrong with you, because, you know, you're not going to live unto yourself. You know, there are going to be those that are close to you that are going to follow you. And I have one regret, that I don't have a greater legacy in the natural for my kids. But God's showing me how to do that, how to prepare that, even presently as I'm preaching. But the sad thing about it is, just like my dad, he served his whole walk on retirement. And at the end, he gave his heart to the Lord, which I didn't know anything about. And then he retired for 3 or 4 years and died. So, but yet I know he entered into the presence of God, but he entered into the presence of God as an immature believer. And God spoke to me one day and said, many of my people are entering into the kingdom in a impoverished state. They're not developed spiritually very much. Now, God receives them that way because that's the love of God. But I want to enter in, like Paul said, with an abundance. And it's not talking about the figures that you witness to. It's talking about the quality of transformation that God has done in your life. You know? And so to please the Lord, then you'll please even your enemies. And it's not easy being an example as a Christian. You know, and I found to be very careful who I express myself to as a believer. I'm very careful at that because I'm not perfect. And you can either snatch the gospel out of somebody's heart or drive it further in. I don't care what you say. You know, I learned the hard way. I lettered on the back of this 38 Chevy, two-door. I spent my whole 2 years, 3 years, wasting my time restoring this automobile. But I lettered on the back of it, Jesus is the answer. And I was so excited about just letting everybody know about Jesus. But I hadn't realized that I was not a perfect driver. And so Jesus is the answer was going everywhere on city streets. But I wasn't making some people glued to the fact that Jesus was the answer. I'll never forget pulling up to this one stoplight and this guy pulled up next to me. And he was honking his horn at me and I rolled my window down and I said, hey, if Jesus is the answer, then why don't he teach you how to drive? So I went home and took it off. Somebody said, well, are you trying to not be, you're not willing to flaunt Jesus? I'm willing to flaunt Jesus before the world, but I got to make sure my own step is going to be correct. You know what I mean? And so I'm very careful now how I handle myself. If I'm with unbelievers, I don't handle myself as a spiritual being, but I'm prepared to give an answer by reason of their question. Are you following what I'm saying? But the thing that I want to be plugged into is make sure that, and it's difficult because none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes, but people don't forget your mistakes. It's funny, they never remember your right things. They always remember your wrong things. Have you ever noticed that? No matter how hard you try, they always remember what you do wrong, not what you've done right. That's just human nature, so to speak. But this is an area, that area we're getting into, point number three, is an area that in my flesh, I hate it. I detest it. But I thought it was very interesting. For about, I think about a year, whether it's that or not, but I asked people certain questions that would relate to self-examination, and not one person over a period of a year understood what I was talking about. You know what that taught me? We're not educated on self-examination. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to learn some good stuff here. Now, I'm going to go to a lot of scriptures, but I'm not going to have you turn to them because I wrote them down for the sake of time. Because next Sunday, what I want to do is I want to introduce an understanding of our heart. That's my main focus today, is to get you to understand what the Bible says about a person's own heart. And that's all I want to get across to you today. But next Sunday, I'm going to give you how to do something about it. So because of this area being so important, we're going to have to cut it that way. We're going to have to study it that way. First of all, you need a foundation of the Word of God to tell you about your own heart, what the Bible has to say about your own heart. Then next Sunday, we'll talk about what we need to do, what the Bible tells us to do for self-examination of our own heart. And I'm going to tell you, it's not a pretty thing. How do I know that? Because when God puts a searchlight on me, and I don't have to be, I should rejoice. Matter of fact, I found some scriptures where God says that when you're corrected or chastened of the Lord, rejoice. I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't got the victory in that area yet. So if you ain't got it in that area, don't feel bad. I don't have it in my area because, man, I get depressed, and depression doesn't belong to a believer. I get irritated. I start making excuses for my condition is because of somebody else, and you know, you just feel agitated, you know. And everything that you do is to put the arrows in the other direction, never moi. You know. And so I'm going to try to make this lighthearted today. Amen? Amen. Say with me. I have a heart.
I have a heart.
God knows it.
God knows it.
I need to. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can truthfully say, my wife probably say, yes, amen. She knows me better than I know myself. So the problem is that when she reveals me to me, it's never in a good place. I mean, she's never walked up to me and said, honey, we're getting along so well. You're such a wonderful man of God. I love you so much. I thought I'd impart something to you. You're the most self-centered thing I know. How do you make you feel? Oh, I can't do that no more. You go to the Lord and He said, turn the other cheek, buddy. Thanks, Lord. No sympathy, nothing. Proverbs 4. We're going to learn some good stuff here about self-examination. Again, if you don't get this down, you'll never succeed, not only naturally, but spiritually. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now notice what he says here, the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Read that with me. Keep thine heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. We got the, what kind of brothers you were? Duke brothers. Here expressing it. Well, let's word it this way.
I will keep
my heart with all diligence. Now, some of you didn't confess that because you don't know where I'm going. Now, notice he says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This word for issues here is literally the term a resolution. It's geographical boundaries. It's a resolution of geographical boundaries. Now, how many of you know that if you was to buy a piece of land, the first thing that you would want to do, if it's a large piece of land, would either to get to know its boundaries, and some people prefer to put fences up. And so you might even put a fence up. So once you've gotten used to those boundaries and then you took action to put a fence up, how many of you know that that's telling the whole world that this belongs to you. This is your ground. This is your land. And so anyone that would cross that would be what? he would be considered a trespasser. Now, whether you wanted to enforce that or not, it's up to the nature that you are. But I have been in situations where I have crossed geological boundaries and been shot at. I don't know why. I'm the most perfect, loving guy on the face of the earth. When I was 17, I deserved no harm whatsoever. I was young, nice looking, loving, kind. But occasionally, I wanted to cross over into somebody else's territory. And I didn't know why they had to use a gun about it. All they had to do is yell at me, and that would have been sufficient, maybe. But you know what I thought was very interesting? He said, keep thine heart, or keep your heart. Now, this word keep in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. It's a military term meaning to guard or watch over it. Mm-hmm. To guard or watch over it. That means that if I'm to keep or to guard or watch over my own heart, that means then my own heart has the ability to go beyond the borders that it should go beyond. And the verses we read before, it says, if you pay attention to the Word of God, the Word of God does something with your heart. It keeps it from going beyond the borders that God intended for it to go. Now, many of us don't see that. We come into the kingdom of God and we don't deal with ourselves, not at all. First thing we want to do is know about the Holy Ghost. We want to know about baptism. We want to know about water. We want to know about church. We want to know about everything. But one thing we don't really realize is that, first of all, we've established the Holy Spirit is your mentor or your teacher. Number two, you've got to realize that you've been birthed into a completely different kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God, and I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't know that I changed citizenship. I didn't know that I was transferred out of this kingdom into the kingdom of light. I had no idea until the word of God became clearer in my life. And I surely didn't know that I had to have the word of God to keep me in check. Because why? Because I did God a favor. I received salvation, and I'm a child of the living God. Isn't that sweet of me, God? I've come into your kingdom, ain't I, Jim Dandy? Thank God for His grace. Now He's got something to work on, but I never thought of that. I never thought of God as working on me through the Word of God. I never had any idea. And I didn't know that I was to take the Word of God and work it on me. I thought I was to take the Word of God and work it on everybody else. Bring somebody into the kingdom. Get them saved. But I found out that scripture says, he that winneth souls is wise, was not talking about bringing somebody to salvation. It talking about delivering them out of the power of darkness over their own self. That's a Hebrew verse that the nation of Israel received from God to keep everything in check. Now, one thing you've got to understand about your salvation is in the perfect tense. That's very unique. It means something happened past tense, that it carried up to present tense, and it's going to be your future. That's what we call future tense. How many understand that? If that's the case, if that's truly the case, then what God has to do is get into your soul and begin to do something in your mind so that the perfect tense of what salvation brings carries on in through to the future. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And that's what we call perfect tense. And so, I never knew. I thought when I got saved that was all there was to it. Until somebody preached that your soul needs to be saved. What do you mean my soul needs to be saved? I thought I was saved. But you know, your soul has to be delivered. Sozo. It's an all-conclusive word. And yet I never thought of that. And did you know what? No one can deliver your soul except the Lord working with you through the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to... I'm going to tell you, God has not called the church to do the work of God to self-examine everyone around them and bring up their faults. God hasn't. Even though other people can see your faults and you can't, God still never. You see, some of us want to do the work of the Holy Ghost when really you need to leave him alone. Let the Holy Ghost do the work for God, not you. I don't know how many times I preach a message and I see a woman hitting her husband. Get that? Did you get that? And she's the one that probably needs it more than he does. Yeah, we always want to take the Word of God for somebody else. Every day that you come into this sanctuary to hear the Word of God, it's because God is speaking to you. Amen. Not the one next to you to leave you out of the equation. I know. I've sat there when God took out his carving knife on me one day. And I made a decision I didn't like the pastor or the church, and I was changing. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, the word midst here means an area where there can be a sever between the two, between God and your heart. Now, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 13. Turn over there. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and go to verse 21, and please focus on what I'm sharing with you this morning, and it's going to help you. It's either going to help you to be even more depressed, but at least you've got information you can deal with when you get out of your depression. You know what I mean? And it'll be good for you because it'll give you some framework or some groundwork for you to live off of. Amen? You know, it says the foundation's already been laid, but it's up to us how we build off of that. It's not up to God. It's up to us to build the house on top of the foundation. You know? And we have to build it correctly. And so, here in Luke chapter 13, notice verse 21. It is like leaven. Oh, well, go to verse 20. And again he saith, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leaven. Now I want you to notice he said, he used this example as what is the kingdom of God like? This is not talking about the kingdom of heaven in the third heaven. This is talking about the kingdom of God on earth. Remember the Lord's Prayer? He said, I pray that first of all, God would have his preeminence in your life. Hallowed be thy name. And number two, that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And so, when he goes and says it's like three measures of meal, he's referring to the kingdom of heaven that is at work within these three measures of meal. And so, it would have to be talking about the kingdom of heaven here. And what the three measures of meal is your spirit, your soul, and your body. That is the three measures of meal. You know, I thought it was very interesting that there said there in Luke, I think it's chapter, forgotten what chapter, just trying to remember it. He says that there's an unjust judge that has no regard for God nor man, and in the text you'll find that he's referring to your flesh. Your flesh has no regard for God or man. All it has regard for is its comforts. That's why when a man ceases from sin in his life, he's suffering because his flesh can't have its way. I've heard so many Christians say, thank God I got out of that church. Man, I felt so restricted and so, that's a place to be. Because evidently your flesh isn't getting its way. I found whatever church I went into that did me the most is where I suffered the most. It just seemed like I couldn't have my way. Well, I was under the Word of God. When you're under the Word of God, your flesh don't like it. Now, notice he says it's in three measures of meal. is like a leaven which a woman took and dealt out three measures of meal, which is your spirit, your soul, and your body. The kingdom of heaven did something to your spirit. And guess what? You've got to do something with your soul and body. God ain't going to do it. You got to do it. Now, so the heart is made up of three parts. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. And notice he put in their body. You know, we as believers, because we're spiritual beings, we don't think the body has anything to fit into this equation. But it does. What you express has to be expressed through your body. Amen? Now, we're talking about self-examination. This is where the Word of God has to get into your heart and God can speak and change you inwardly. That is what it's all about. Now, I'm just going to quote these scriptures and give you an understanding. You know, when the Bible establishes something, you've got to go with it. Whether you believe it or not, you got to go with it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So when I was really agitated and everything, I got to a place in my fellowship with God that I knew God was so happy with me, the hours I was spending in prayer and the commitment to Him and the focus and, oh, I know God loves me. Matter of fact, I'd get in my prayer closet and all heaven would break loose and feel Him kiss me all over and, you know, me and God have got it together. And then one day I go into my prayer closet and it seemed like I had a steel plate put on top of me and it's crushing me and I don't know what's wrong. And finally, I sit there and I just start praying in the spirit and because I didn't know what was going on around me. And I knew I wasn't supposed to get it with my feelings, you know, but I did have feelings with this feeling. But I couldn't make it out. And I says, God, I kind of sense something's wrong. And the Lord said, well, I'm glad that you asked. You know, it's real funny. When you fellowship a lot with the Lord, you experience some things you don't know how to put into words. You experience them, but you don't know whether that my sense is talking to me or. But eventually, God will get His voice real clear. And you know what? I found that many believers go into their prayer closet and hear voices apart from the Word. That's the most dangerous thing you can do. And so, God said, okay. I'm glad you asked. But he shut up. He didn't say anything. I'm sitting there trying to say something. So I go back to my Bible. I'm reading along. And God, I'm still sensing I'm not free on the inside here. There's an inner witness in your life. Every one of you as believers got this inner witness. I don't care who you are. You got, that's the basic comes with salvation, an inner witness. You know, either right from wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And there's something in there ain't right. And so finally I said, God, I know you're trying to talk to me, but you're not saying anything. And so I got back and I got into some scripture that I wasn't aware that was what God was trying to speak to me through. Now, none of you have ever had that problem. And I said, Lord, these scriptures keep coming back to me. What they got to do with me? God said, a lot. Well, that ain't me. No, this ain't God. That ain't me. Because the scriptures were bringing an indictment to me. You know, Rick Renner, he asked me, he says, Jan, how do you come up with some of the interpretations of some of these verses? And I said, oh, are you in disagreement? He says, no, I just never heard anything like, where did you get that? I said, I got it from the Holy Ghost. He says, well, tell me, how do you meditate the Word of God? I says, I bring my Bible into my meditator. Yeah. I don't sit there and just go into my prayer closet and pray in tongues all day for 2 or 3 or 4 hours and then wait to hear a voice from heaven. I have to take my Bible with me. That might shock some of you. When you pray, God will speak through your Bible when you're a little infant. He won't speak to your head about something that's weird.
Right.
He'll always speak to you through your Bible. And I said, Rick, I said, one thing you've brought out in merchandising the anointing on page 83 is you said people that go out into the realm of the Spirit without the Word of God and get some Word from God and come back into natural is a person that's gone overboard spiritually. And Rick said, wow, you even know the page number. I said, yeah, because a person has gone overboard spiritually when they go out into the realm of the Spirit and you get all these voices coming to them and don't even look at it through the Word of God. God speaks to you through the Word of God. That's how you know His voice. How do I know His voice? He speaks to you through the Word of God. But He brought up a subject in the Word of God I didn't like. And God took me on a little tour. It was called the heart. And so here's what the tour that he took me on, all right? He said, look up the word heart and get into this heart thing and begin to understand your own heart. And I said, okay. I went to a certain proverb. I'm not going to give you the proverb because I don't want you to go scratching over there. I'll give you the proverb after I quote it, okay? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, did you know that Proverbs 23:7, you don't have to turn there, Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I knew that as I'm thinking in my heart, are you following me? That's what I am. I've learned that out of the good treasures of a man's heart come good things, but out of the evil treasures of a man's heart bringeth forth evil things. So I knew that my heart had a whole lot to say about me. And another one that's very interesting is Proverbs 27:19. It says, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of a man to man. And so, if I know that I have to converse with my own heart, it's me to me. Yep. And that is the same as a reflection of a mirror. He said water there, but it's a mirror. Right. How many of you ever had a chit-chat with yourself? Don't let anybody hear you, but it's good. Yep. Do it alone with the Lord, or they'll take your nets. Yep. Now, another one is all, now this is about our heart, the natural man's heart. Another proverb says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Yeah. Clean in his own eyes. But you do any fellowship with God, you're going to discover your heart ain't what it's supposed to be. Another proverb says, through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Now, when he says separate himself, he's talking about separated from the Word of God, separated from God. And it says this man does something. It discovers his own heart. And the word discovered is a very interesting Hebrew word. It means to expose or to reveal oneself, to advertise the appearance of promoting itself. So men that separate themselves from God are only interested in one thing, to promote themselves, to merchandise themselves. They want, the word discover, I said, why did you use that word? He said, because that's really what you want people to do, is to discover you. That's what actresses are all about. You see, they want to be discovered. Their whole life is their involvement of being discovered as a person. Another proverb says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Another proverb says, a man's heart devises his way. Another one says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. This is very interesting. Right in his own eyes. Well, you know what I discovered about Proverbs 25:28? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a life, is like a city that is broken down and without protection. You know, just in natural life itself, whether it's in friendship, whether it's in business, employer, or relatives. You know the old jokes we talk about relatives. I ain't gonna be with your relatives. Yeah. I thought it was very interesting. Your success hinges on your character development. It really does. If you want to succeed in life, grow strong in the nature and character that God has given you. And you will succeed in life to the point where that scripture says, if your ways please the Lord, it'll make your enemies to respect you and love you. Respect for what you are. Now notice this. Let's go back to the first one, Proverbs 28:26. Now I'm giving you the proverb. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But the second half of this verse is, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You know, a big question went up on this verse for me. What shall I be delivered from? You know, if I am not to trust in my own heart, because it makes me a fool, then if I walk wisely, then I shall be delivered. You know what he's referring to? The first half of the verse. From what? A trust in your own heart. I've learned not to trust in my own heart. I've learned not to trust in my own heart because I can't distinguish it between understanding and feelings. You know what that does? That confuses the daylights out of you. You don't know whether you're making that up out of the emotions or and your feelings or understanding. Why? Because where a Christian is concerned, they don't know how to make a distinction what's of the Spirit. That's why you get confused. That's why you have to go back to the Word of God. That's why Proverbs 4 says, keep your heart with all diligence. It goes wacky. 2 years ago, my heart started going wacky on me. Because of you people. Yeah, I wanted out of the ministry. I had it. All I tried to do was do good and get treated rotten. See what you guys did to me? Ooh, oh, it's hot. Wanted to do a Hulk on everybody. But you know what I did with myself when I started feeling that way? I put myself on the shelf. You just have to do that. You just have to go on, put yourself on the shelf, and get away from all the things that bother, and give yourself a season. Now, I couldn't quit pastoring, and I couldn't quit preaching, I couldn't quit coming to the church. I did my duties as unto the Lord, but I didn't know how to deal with me. Why? Because of you guys. Thank God I was delivered of that frame of mind. But sometimes you just got to put yourself on a shelf until God can get you stabilized. And there's nothing wrong with getting into that position. Are you following? Because that's life. But sometimes you just got to sit on the shelf, and if somebody asks why you're up there, just say, well, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to sit here until I know why I'm on the shelf. Proverbs 16:2 was the second one. I only gave you half of it. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Notice this. But the Lord weighs the spirit. You know, we can be clean in our own eyes, but God has to do something with us. And this word weigheth, the spirit, literally means he balances us out. A just weight is his delight. He gets us so that we can walk in the natural and be spiritual at the same time. He balances that thing out. But you got to deliver yourself from your own ways first so he can balance that thing out. You got to give God a chance to work in your heart, people. That's why I'm so gracious with people that make mistakes in the ministry, is because God's not through cleaning people up. I thought he was through cleaning you up because I judged you, and God wasn't through cleaning me up. He didn't have a problem with any of you. Just gripes me sometimes. But it's true. He just put a better love in my heart for you. He just made more of a commitment in me for you. Somebody said, well, somebody wants to leave the church. Hey, I wanted to leave my own church. That ain't news. Well, they just can't figure you out. I can't figure myself out. But I've learned to sit tight until I get it all worked out. You know what I mean? All of us go through this. We have to learn to sit tight and let God work it out through our heart. But it's got to be through the Word of God. Get into the Word daily. But we'll get into how to do this in detail next Sunday. I'm just trying to establish a fear in your for trusting your own heart. I want you to walk out here, oh my gosh, what's in me? And then we'll get into the good stuff. Another one I quoted, didn't quote you the whole scripture, is in Proverbs 19:21. Write this down. There are many devices in a man's heart. Remember I said that? We can really get self-confused. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So that's why you go back into your Bible. God will give you counsel out of His Word. Because you can get real confused about a lot of things. Are you following me? Proverbs 16:9, I only quoted you half of this. A man's heart devises his way. Proverbs 16:9. But the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord directeth his steps. Everybody else can see where you belong but you. But you know, remember I started off telling you this message is that no one can give you direction, only the Lord. If people try to give you direction, it'll cause you to repel more. God has to get into your heart and life. You've got to grace people for that.
God, I just sacrifice all day long. I do my best to get servants together. And
they act like they act like they act. Boy, when you fellowship with the Lord, that's the hardest thing on flesh. He comes back and says, yeah, and you're perfect. I think I've learned something about what not to do this last 2 years, that I've got to make changes in me. But changes don't come overnight. It takes time for God to work in a person's heart. And it takes some grace and mercy on your part to let them work through these things. God loves us. Sometimes He can't put up with some of the things we do, but He always loves us. Amen. And sometimes you don't know who to go to. See, I didn't know who to go to about what I was going through. Because all I'd ever get was, well, get over it. Get over it. It's like, you know, it says a sad heart. If you sing a merry song to a sad heart, it's like pouring vinegar and salt into a man's womb or the wound. And I got to thinking, man, the more I cry, the worse they treat me. All I get is what's her name's statement, get over it. Sometimes you just want people to just get down with you and just be as miserable as you are with you. And you think that's going to do you a lot of good.
Oh, at least they understand me.
I found out that I don't understand me when I'm depressed and upset and don't know what to do and confused. I've learned that. Here's another one. Proverbs 21:2. I only quoted half of it. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I love this. But the Lord pondereth the heart. The word pondereth means to balance by weighing a person's actions. I never knew that God... I never knew this, but God knows a man a lot by their actions. And here you got this all-knowing God. All-knowing. But I never realized that God never created us like robots. There's a side to us. He wants us to know. And God, just like your kids, God is not so stupid that you'd run around with Him and He hadn't learned something about you. It's not that he jumps into your head like Spock, Dr. Spock. And that's the way we think God does to us. He makes some connection with us and kind of... And God doesn't do that. All you have to do is open your mouth. Take one step and God knows all about you. Because I'd run into scripture that God heard a report about Sodom and Gomorrah, so he came down to see what it was all about. And I got to thinking, what's that all about? He ought to know something from heaven. Another one is that he told Abraham to go and offer his kid on the altar of sacrifice, and God went and told him his kid was going to be the blessing. It was going to all come through his kid. And he wanted to go and take him up there on the mountain and offer him his sacrifice. And Abraham said, I don't understand this. You know what some Christians told me? It's because God wanted Abraham to know his own heart. Because God already knew the choice he was going to make. Then why in the world did God send an angel to stop his hand from putting a knife in the kid? And then God say afterwards, now I know. You want to know why? God wants, you get under pressure in your life and God will discover what you're made of by your actions under the pressure. Not when everything's good. Amen. Why? Because he's chosen. Even though he is God, he's chosen to be sovereign over your life. You got a right to your own choices. Amen. And to get God on the inside of your heart, he's got to get into your heart to let you know and discover something about yourself. Yes. Boy, next Sunday we're going to have a good time in the Word, because I'm going to take you someplace that's going to amplify some of this. It's going to just set you shouting. Now, go over to Matthew chapter 7. And when I saw this, man, at first it really bothered me. But I began to really understand this, and I'm going to close on this one. Matthew chapter 7, and let's go to verse 15. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there again, this is a reference to chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because this passage is an amplification of the Lord's Prayer. See, Jesus went out and explained in detail the Lord's Prayer right up to chapter 8, verse 1. This is where he came down from the Sermon on the Mount. This is where it ends. And so he's talking about how you're preserved from the evil one or the evil day. And notice what he says. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father. Here we go back to this performance thing. I've learned that my heart is what my actions are. Isn't that sad? Faith without works is dead. My faith is my actions, and I hate it sometimes. I do, people. This is what really gets to me, and I am having a hard time when I deal with myself. You know, I don't have a hard time pointing these scriptures to somebody else. Because when I apply them to myself, I hate it. Now look at this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from ye that work iniquity. Now, you know what got me about this passage? You know what it got me about this passage? Are you ready? Is that we have been taught, or I had been taught, that these are people that never knew the Lord. They never knew the Lord. But in the text, I had a hard time dealing with somebody that never knew the Lord, because they evidently prophesied, and Jesus didn't say they didn't prophesy. He didn't say they didn't cast out devils. He didn't say they'd done many wonderful works. Now, what is that all about? Well, the key is in the word no. I never knew you. He didn't use the word oida. The word oida is different than the word gnosko. The word oida demands consideration as well as gnosko between the two, because gnosko frequently suggests inception or progress in knowledge, while oida suggests fullness of knowledge. So Jesus was not saying, I never knew you, meaning he never had a relationship with them. He was saying, I never had an approving relationship with you. So evidently, God tried to get into a fellowship with them, tried to correct their mistakes, tried to deal with their heart so that they would quit producing evil fruit on their tree and produce good fruit, that they didn't have a consistency with the Lord. Are you getting something here? See, you know, there are a lot of wannabe believers. They want to be right, but they're no different than a man living under law. They're no different. Because they got to get under a law to make them straighten up. When the law, the new birth, God gets into your heart to, you fulfill the law. Because he gets in your heart to keep it. Why? Your love for him gets deeper and deeper. And if it gets deeper and deeper for God, it'll do the same with mankind. See, that's how far out I was from you people. I didn't know what the love of God was on planet Earth for grapes. Till he sat me down one day and said, buddy, you hadn't even begun to change. This was only a couple of years ago. You're just off in your head. And I said, well then, what about all the time I was walking with you in prayer? And he says, oh, I walked with you, but he says, I couldn't touch many, many things in your heart. I couldn't touch them there because your mind wasn't there. It wasn't ready. You know, a lot of us wonder why God don't move quicker. God's waiting for you to move quicker. The worst person on planet Earth to look at is you in a mirror. Especially when you get up in the morning. Now I'm groping for a brush or a comb. I don't like looking at myself with my hair a mess. Slick runway right down the center of it. My wife always says, your part's getting high, a lower. My wife always tells me, I'd rather have you bald than your part way down by your ear. I love Sue. She doesn't let me slip for nothing, man. And I love her for it. Praise God. Pastor Butler. So we're going to stop there. I'm tired of using a whip on myself. So next week, we're going into the process of self-examination, what the Bible says you can do about it. And I've learned it to a degree. I still need more performance, but I've learned it to a degree. If you learn how to do it, boy, God will put you at such peace. See, when your mind is stayed on Him, you'll be in perfect peace. First time that you're not keeping your mind on Him is the fact that you're not in peace. You've got to learn how to get into peace. More than anything else. Sad to say, most of us, because we're not in peace, we let the ministry suffer for it. I almost did. Well, that's the mind of the devil, because the first thing he does, he wants you to take it out on what God has committed to you in ministry. That's the first thing that's going to suffer. I was sharing with a couple of people what I was going through. They didn't understand me for a man of the moon, but they thought, wow, this is odd. Why would he feel that way and everything? You want to know why? Because they weren't bearing witness in their heart what I was going through as the right thing. Boy, if your brothers and sisters are confused, that means there ain't no harmony there. You know what I mean? That's where you better start really taking a look at yourself. Or they bear witness, they'd sit there and they'd sympathize. Hey, I think God's in this thing. And you're sitting there, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what I'm going to do. When really, that's even a form of hypocrisy, because my whole attitude was, I got discouraged with ministry. Thank God I got out of that. I just got off my head. Thank God I learned how to park my brain, my natural mind. Thank God I've learned how to shut him down. Thank God the Word of God, God showed me through the Word of God how not to have no respect for what the carnal mind tells you. It robs, kills, divides, destroys. That's all it's designed to do. Did you guys get something here this morning? This is an important message. So now that we've established how wicked and evil our heart is, we have a good spirit in us. And we're gonna find out why certain statements in the Old Testament said, such as, if you raise a servant up as a child, as a son, you'll have him at full length. But he said in the verse in between there, he says a servant doesn't know what his master does, doesn't even want to. Doesn't even care. And I found out in the Old Testament what God did is he's dealing with men contrary to his nature. And he said, the results I'm going to get out of this person is to raise them up as one of my own child. And then I can get some results out of him. Otherwise, if I hire him on as a servant, I get no respect out of him. See? So there's a powerful understanding of what it means to be a son of God. And when the church gets rid of its lust for money, I think we'll get back into what the kingdom of God is really all about. And I don't have anything against the prosperity message. I have everything against idiots that fall for money. Stand up, everybody. I'll get preaching again. Deliver me. This is an important message. Very important for the kingdom of God. We're getting some fantastic responses off of this program. So it's something that we all need to learn something about. Amen. Everyone bow their heads. Father, I thank you so much this morning for the Word of God. Even though it's hard on us, Father, we can't quit dealing with ourselves. We have to let you get into our heart and life, Father. Because without this, we can't grow. We can never begin to understand Hebrews 12, Father, without us having this intimate place with you through the Word of God. And Father, I know that all self-examination has to come through prayer, talking with you, how we feel. Father, I thank you. I can just come to you as I am. And I thank you because you can work out all the details of my heart. Your Word can separate all three areas of my life. And deliver me and bring me to a place of total peace. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I have the answer for those of you that are struggling. I sense it in my spirit. I hope this morning and next Sunday morning will give you a good advantage on how to really find life and peace by the mind of the Spirit in Jesus' name. So with every head bowed, if you're here this morning and you've never said the sinner's prayer, you've never come forward and said, Lord, I want to make you my personal Savior. I want to be born again. I want to enter into the citizenship of the enrolled in heaven and leave the citizenship of this world. This is your greatest opportunity this morning to do that very thing. If you've never given your heart and life, and even if you question whether you had or not, that needs to be confirmed. We have altar ministers that can help you in that area. And point number two is if you've been out of fellowship with the Lord, You haven't been praying like you should. All you've, and listen, the lowest form of prayer is talking to Him all day long. I hear more Christians say that. I just talk to Him all day long. I used to say that too. Matter of fact, some of the ministers I knew that were close to God told me that same witness or testimony and ended up in sin. It is the lowest form of, you've got to take time to sit down and focus with the Lord. That's the highest form of prayer. Where you're away from all the schematics of the world. Just talking to Him all day long is a small portion. Just a small portion of prayer. But you need to spend time in His face talking to Him. Spreading your Bible open and listening to Him and giving Him a chance to strengthen your fellowship. That is so important. You can't have good bonding with somebody you just talk to all day long while you're doing your own thing. You can't bond that well. Sometimes your mate loves you to sit down and focus in on them and talk to them directly. Instead of talking to them on the run. You know, we try to make it as comfortable as we can for our flesh. But I'll tell you what, your flesh has to do some suffering. It's got to sit down and pay attention. So if you've broken fellowship with the Lord, you can get that right this morning. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in the language of your human spirit given to you by the Holy Ghost, then you need that baptism. It is so important. So critical for your inward anointing. So with every head bowed, if you're here and you fit one of those three areas, I want you to step out and come forward. We have altar ministers here that would just love to minister to you. Don't feel ashamed. I'll tell you, you're just showing everybody that the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you and you need to work that thing. You need to get it right. Hallelujah. What an honor and what a privilege. Sometimes when people come forward, I feel so at awe. Hallelujah. But nothing like a humble heart before the Lord. I used to wear my knees and my pants out going to the altar. The first church I attended. Hallelujah.